Today's daf is Shabbos daf Kuf Yud Beis, and we are 10 lines from the top of daf Kuf Yud Beis Amad Aleph, the two dots, v'ritzuois minol v'sandal. Today's daf is being learned as a schus refuah shalema for Shlomo ben Sarah Aliza, Moshe Chaim ben Bela, Avram ben Gittel, Yitzchak Eliyahu ben Chaya Sara, Avram Kaddish ben Malka Bela, Avram Yekasil ben Gittel, Chana Gittel bas Brindel, Rafal Chaim Shai Yashuv ben Baba Chaya Rivka, Yehuda Leib Chizkiyo ben Basya, Chaim ben Yom Mordechai ben Ida, Chizki Yishloim Zizkin ben Nechama, Yosef Tzvi Mechana Henela, Yerachmiel Tzvi Moshe ben Chana, Harav Chaim Doiv ben Krindel, Yael bas Bela, Shoshana Tova bas Esther, Michal Shoshana bas Tova Hadassah, and Chava Serel bas Chana Freida. Today's daf is also being learned to Ilui Nishmas, Yechiel Yosef ben Tzvi Betzalel, Shloime Zev ben Avram Yitzchak, Mordechai Ziskin ben Meir Ochanan, and Baruch Tzvi ben Ephraim Zalman Halevi. So we are moving along in the beginning of the 15th parak of Masechta Shabbos, parak Ve'eluk Sharim, which deals with two of the 39 malachas, the malacha of Kosher and the malacha of Matir. The malacha of Kosher states that one is not allowed to tie two things together. You're not allowed to tie a knot on Shabbos. Matter means that you're not allowed to untie a knot on Shabbos. Stating that, as we saw in the first two Mishnayos of the Perek, and as we will continue to see, not all knots constitute kosher midoraisa. In fact, there are three levels when it comes to the malacha of kosher. There's some knots that are asa midoraisa, which means that if somebody would do it bemezid, there are some knots where the iser to tie those knots is only midrabanon, quote unquote, pater avalaser. And then there's some knots where it's mutter lechatchila to go ahead and to tie. Regardless, on that note, the Mishnah had said that if somebody ties the ritzuos, the straps of a minnal or a sandal, the halacha is it would constitute kosher, says the Gemara Itmar. We learned in a brisa, hit the ritzuos, minnal, a sandal. If somebody would untie the straps of a minnal, a shoe, a sandal, or a sandal. Tani chada, one brisa said chayiv chatas, the person would be chayiv chatas. V'tani yiduch pater avalos. Another brisa said it's aser midrabanon, but at the same time pater, there's no chiyuv. V'tani yiduch, and there's a third brisa that said muta lechatchila, that it's something that you're even allowed to do lechatchila. So which one is it? We have a three-way stira. If somebody unties the straps of a shoe or a sandal, is it asa midoraisa? That's one braisa. Is it asa midrabanan? That's a second braisa. Or is it mutal chatrila? That's the third braisa. The Gemara says kasha minal aminul, kasha sandal a sandal. And all three braises talk about a shoe and a sandal. So we're going to have to be miyashiv the three braises as it relates to the minnow, and we're going to have to miyash of the three prices as it relates to the sandal. Says the Gemara, minnow, I'm in a lay kasha, as it relates to the stira regarding a shoe, there's no stira. Why? All three prices were talking about different straps that the shoe had. The price that says that if somebody ties the straps of a shoe, he's going to be chayv chatos. It's talking about bidu ushbechi. It's talking about the knot that the shoemaker would make. So just to visualize a little bit what the shoe looked like, there was a strap that went inside the actual shoe, then the straps came on top, and when you wanted to put the shoe on, you would tie it, take it off, you would untie it. So the knot that kept the strap inside the shoe, that's not something that was tied and untied. That was something that was done by a professional. It wasn't done by an amateur. It certainly wasn't done by the person that put his shoes on every morning. You don't take apart your shoes in the morning. You untie them, but you don't take them apart. To untie that knot would mean literally taking it apart. So when the Mishnah says that if someone's matter a ritzu of a minnal on Shabbos, he's chayev achatos, that's because he was matter a kesher shel kayama. He was matter a real kesher. Which kesher is the one that's shel kayama when it comes to shoes? The one that the shoemaker makes. Patra avalaser, when the Brisa says patra avalaser, that's talking about bidur rabbanon. It's the shoes that the Rabbanim used to wear. So apparently, the Rabbanim, when they tied their shoes, they used to tie it somewhat loosely. And as a result, it wasn't so hard for them to get their foot out of the shoe, even if it was still tied. So you could take your shoes off sometimes without tying them, but really without untying them, but really it depends on how tightly the shoes are tied. So the Rabbanim, as a general rule, they weren't so makbid to tie their shoes so tightly. As a result, it wasn't so difficult for them to take their shoe off without untying it, which means that they're not, even though it's not a kesher shel kayama, because sometimes they're going to untie it, but it's similar to a kesher shel kayama, because very often they're not going to untie it. And for that reason, the Rabbanim said that the shoes that the Rabbanim wore is going to be Aser midrabanon to untie. It's not a real kasha shakayama, so it's not an issa deiraisa, but midrabanon it's going to be awesome. Mutal lechatchilo. What about the raisa that says the mutal lechatchilo? That's talking about the now infamous b'nei mechuza, the people that lived in mechuza. So mechuza was a shtetl in Bavel, the most prominent of all the rabbanim of Mechuza was Rava. Rava used to give musa to the Bnei Mechuza, and it's clear from so many Gemaras that the Bnei Mechuza, they were meunagim, mefunagim, they lived a good life. One of the things that they were very makbin on is the way they looked. So Rashi says that being that they cared a lot about the way they looked, apparently you look more handsome if your shoes are tied more properly. So in order for the Bnei Mechuza to take their shoes off, they actually had to untie it. So that knot, not only is it not a kesher shel kayama, it's not even a remez, ben benoishal remez of a kesher shel kayama. So that's where you have a knot where it's always being tied and untied. That's something that you're allowed to engage in lichatchila. Says the Gemara, what about sandal a sandal? So we answered the three brises as it relates to shoes. What about with regards to sandals? The Gemara says, not a kashi. The Hadik Tani Chayiv Chatas, one says Chayiv Chatas, Bidetayi, is talking about the sandals that the Tayim used to wear, the Arab merchants. The Kachi Ushbachi, that was done professionally, and like the shoe, there was a strap that was embedded into the shoe itself. That strap was never untied. So if somebody would untie it on Shabbos, he's Mechal Shabbos Midday Reis. But also the brise that says that a sandal, you're allowed to untie midday rice, but it's also midday rabbanon. That's talking about the chumrisa, the katri inu. That's talking about also the shoe on the bottom, but not where it was done by a professional. Rather, it was done by an amateur. It's shoes that you made in your basement. So those types of shoes, the kesher is not shel kayama on the same level as if it was made by the professional, the ushbechi. And for that reason, midday rabbanon you're not allowed to untie it, but midday rice is not the end of the world. Muta lechatchila, however, as it relates to the brisa that says it's mutal lechatchila to untie the straps of a sandal, that's talking about the sandal de nafki betray. It's talking about a sandal that two people wear. So if two people share a sandal, then they're going to constantly untie it and tie it to adjust it to the proper size. And it's for that reason, that type of strap is mutal lechatchila. Says the Gemara, two people share a sandal? Yeah, anecdotally, the Gemara says, I'll share a story with you. Okay, the Rav Yehuda, Achud, the Rav Salah Chassid. Rav Yehuda was the brother of Rav Salah Chassid. Havalei Ahud Zugid the sandal. He had a pair of shoes, Zimnin the Nafik Bu Iyu. Sometimes he would wear them. Zimnin the Nafik Bu Yenuke. And sometimes his child would wear them. Almost all the Kamei Tabayis. He came to Abaya. Amalei, he asked Abaya, I gav no mai. What's talocha? Meaning, am I allowed to untie and tie these shoes on Shabbos? Amalei said, Abaya told him, Chayiv Chatas. He said, Chayiv Chatas. Amalei, so Rabbi Yehuda told Abaya, Hashta Patra Avalosika Kashali. It's funny. I came to you with a Shaila. Is it Asa Mid Rabbanon? Or is it Mutal Lechatchila? And Chayiv Chatas Kamerli? I wasn't expecting this. This is like a real Chumra. I never even had a tzad. You should be Chayiv Chatas. So Abaya said, my timer. He says, why? Why did you think that it should be mutal lechatchila? Amalei, he told him, "Mishum debechol nami zinden nafik nebei ano zinden nafik beyanuk." Because I share it with my child. I mean that I share it with my child. We have different size feet, and as a result, we have to adjust it. Amalei, Abaya said, "You didn't tell me that." Ihachi, if that's the case, mutal lechatchila, I agree with you. This is something that's going to be mutal lechatchila. It's interesting. The Gemara tells a story about Rav Yehuda, who was Rav Salah Chasida's brother. He sheared his shoes with his son. What comes to mind is a Gemara in Nedarim, Mem Tes Amid Beis, where the Gemara is talking not about Rabbi Yehuda, the Amoira, who was the brother of Rav Salah Chasida, but rather Rabbi Yehuda the Tano, as in Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Loi. And the Gemara says he was so poor that him and his wife sheared one beggar. They had one me'il that they sheared. And the Gemara says Rabbi Yehuda was so appreciative of the little bit that he had that every morning when he would put it on, he would say, Baruch Sha'otani Me'il. He would thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, special bracha for giving him this me'il. Either way, Rabbi Yehuda, but it's not the same Rabbi Yehuda. This is Rabbi Yehuda, and Amar, not even the Amar Rabbi Yehuda, but rather Rabbi Yehuda, who is the brother of Rav Salah Chasida. That's Rabbi Yehuda the Tana. So after Gemara, Rabbi Yirmiyo have a ka'azel basrei the Rabavo. Rabbi Yirmi was once walking behind Rabavo becarmelus in a carmelus. So the other day we had a Gemara where Rabbi Zera was walking behind Rabbi Yirmiyo by the Yama Melach. This is a little less dramatic. Rabbi Yirmiya is walking behind Rabbi Avo in a carmelus. So the Gemara says, "Ifsik resua the tandale." And while he was walking, so Rabbi Yirmiya's lace, the strap of his sandal, came off. Amale. So Rabbi Yirmiya turned to Rabbi Avo and said, "My navidla, what should I do?" Amale. So he told him, "Shkol gami. What you should do is take some reeds, lach, moist reeds. The chazing lemaichel behema. Why moist? Because if it's moist, then it's chazing lemaichel behema, and as a result, it's not going to be muktzah. So if you have dry reeds, it's muktzah. You have nothing to do with it. That's like sticks, which is eitzim avonim. That's your classic muktzah 101. If it's moist, however, so you can feed it to your animals. So to the extent you can feed it to your animals, it means it's not muktzah. So he told him, take gemi, That's not muktzah. That was the point. The karachi lavei and wrap it, improvise. Instead of having the straps, which you don't have, use that. And as a result, you'll be able to continue to walk with the shoes on Shabbos. So basically, he told him he couldn't wear the shoe. The question was, what? He was in a carmelis. He couldn't carry it. So what's the etzah? So he said, there's an etzah. You can improvise. Put this all together. You're going to be fine. Zokti Gemara, similar story. Abaya have koi kamid Rav Yosef. Abaya was one standing with Rav Yosef. Ifsekle ritzua. And Abaya's shoe strap came off. Amalei. So Abaya turns to Rabbi Yosef and he says, "My Avidle, is there anything I could do?" Amalei, Rabbi Yosef, Abaya's Rebbe told him, "Shafke, you have to leave it here." So he knew this. So we have two stories. We have a story with Rabbi Yirmiya and Rabbi Avo, and we have a story with Abaya and Rabbi Yosef. In the case of Rabbi Yirmiya, the sandals strap came off in a carmelis. And Rav Avo had an Eitzah. He told him, take Gemi, that's Lach, it's not Muksa, wrap it together, and it's fine. You can wear it that way. You can carry it because you're on a Carmelist, but at the very least, you can wear it. We had a similar story with Abai and Rav Yosef. This happened, sounds like, in a Rishus HaYachid. It doesn't say anything about this happening in a Carmelist. And he asked him, is there anything I can do? He told him, no, Shafke, you have to leave it there. So the Gemara says, Maisham the Rabbi Yirmiya, what's the difference between the two stories? Why, in Rabbi Yirmiya's case, was it okay? There was a way to improvise in Abaya's case. It's not. So the Gemara says like this, because Hasam loy minter, hacham minter. Because really, taking this Gemi and creating a shoe was considered bidiyavet, the Gemara says. In the case of Rabbi Yirmiya, where his shoe was in a Carmelis, where you couldn't carry it, so if you're not going to wear it, it's going to stay there, it's going to end up getting lost, there's a hefsid mamon, because of a hefsid mamon, Rav Avoh was willing to be mekel. However, in the case of Abaye and Rav Yosef, it happened in a Rishus HaYachid, it happened in a Chotzer, Mishutefes, Me'ureves, there was no issue with carrying it, the question was, could I wear it? So he said, no, now we're ready, this is a different story, and as a result, he felt there was muktzah, and there's a muktzah issue, he said that you should leave it there. Now, the truth is, a big chiddush this Gemara, because where do you find that muktzah somehow is more kuladig when it comes to a sakana or not? If anything, there's something called muktzah machmas chesaronkes, which that's a reason for something to be muktzah. So I am showing him that explained this Gemara a little bit, but either way, that's what the Gemara says. But the Gemara asks Akasha, I don't know, what's this muktzah issue? What would be muktzah over here? Vamonohu. What should be the problem? The iba'ina hafichnale miyamin lismal. So apparently, once upon a time, the sandals that we're talking about had two straps. There was one on the right side, one on the left side, or one on the outer side and one on the inner side. So the one on the inner side is if it's on your right shoe, the one on the inner side would be facing the inside of your left foot. The one on the outer side is the one that's it's facing mibachotz. The metzias was that if someone ever had a situation like this where something happened to his ritzua, if it was the outer ritzua, he didn't fix it. If it was the inner ritzua, he would fix it. And the reason was very practical. What happens in the inner ritzua, you don't really see. So if it's going to have to be sewed together and it's not going to look perfect, it's not such a big deal. That's not a reason for someone just to throw a shoe out. If it happens on the outside, that's where it's going to be an issue. So the Gemara asks Akasha that if we're assuming in these two stories with Rabbi Yirmiya and Abaya, Rabbi Avo, and Rabbi Yosef, that there was a mukta issue, so the assumption must be that there was no way to fix the issue. Meaning this shoe is going to end up in the garbage. If there was a way to fix the shoe, then l'chura, it shouldn't be muktzah. So the Gemara says, that must mean that we're talking about where the outer strap came off. Because if the inner strap came off, you'll be able to fix it anyways. But the Gemara's kash is, even if the outer strap is the one that came off, there's still a way to fix it. You know what you could do? If it's the right shoe, you can make it your left shoe. If it was the right sandal, make it the left sandal. So what's the outer strap on the right foot will now become the inner strap on the left foot. This is basic math. And if that's the case, there is a way to fix it. And if that's the case, it shouldn't be muktzah. So why would Amiram not sure about what to do with this? In the case of Abaya, he's going to leave it there. Why is he leaving it there? Because it's muktzah, obviously. What's the muktzah issue? I don't understand. L'chura, there's a usage for it. You're going to tell me, no, it was the outer one. You're going to throw it in the garbage. Why am I going to throw it into the garbage? I'm going to look for someone that needs a left shoe. And I'm going to give it to him. So the Gemara asks, meaning, v'hamanohu, it's still a keli. So from the muktzah perspective, should it be considered muktzah? You know, because you could so easily take it from the right foot and use it for the left foot. Amale. So the Gemara says like this. So Rabbi Yosef told Abaya that from the fact that Rabbi Yochanan once was metaritz a braiso like Rabbi Yehuda. Shvami no halachic Rabbi Yehuda. Must be the halachas like Rabbi Yehuda. And if the halachas like Rabbi Yehuda, this kasha is not a kasha. Says the Gemara, Maihi, who's Rabbi Yehuda? Who's Rabbi Yochanan? And what in the world does this have to do with this exchange between Abaya and Rabbi Yosef? So the Gemara says, the Tanya, we learned in a Brice. Again, just to have clear this one point, because this is going to take us till the end of the daf, pretty much. So the point is that Abaya was walking in a Rosh Hashayachid. He was together with Rabbi Yosef, and one of the straps of his sandal came off. And he turned to Rabbi Yosef, and he asked Rabbi Yosef, is there anything I can do? So he says, there's nothing you can do. He said, no, you're stuck. You can't touch it because it's muksa. And he said, at the same time, you can't take this lach shel gemi and strap it around because you're probably going to end up moving and you end up with muksa issues either. And even though Rabbi Yirmi, they once had a similar story and the chachamim were mekel, that's because it was in a karmelis. It wasn't protected. It was going to get lost. So as a result, there was a mukim to be mekel. But over here, there's no reason to be mekel. So as a result, this is something you're going to have to leave. So we're assuming now that the shoe that doesn't have the strap is muksa. Why is it muksa? It shouldn't be muksa. To the extent that you're going to fix it, that's enough that it shouldn't be muksa. Now, why does that impact Hilchas muksa? Again, that's not for now. But the point is, the fact that you're going to fix this shoe, that's enough of a reason in and of itself for it not to be muksa. So Gemara says, why won't you fix it? If it was the inner strap, everybody fixed it. And even if it was the outer strap, so what's the big deal? I could always flip it around. So if it was the outer strap of the right shoe, I can end up using it as a left shoe. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yosef heard what Abaya said. Rabbi Yosef said, the answer is because Rabbi Yochanan was once metaritz a braisa like Rabbi Yehuda. And we're up to the point where the Gemara says, Maihi, what does that have to do with anything? Who's Rabbi Yochanan? Who's Rabbi Yehuda? Tanya, we learned in a braisa. Sandal, shenifsek, ushtey ozav, a sandal that lost its two flaps. Ushtey, tarsi, ozav, the two straps. Ushtey, need to call a kaf shalai. Rashi says, a kaf is sola balaz, the sole of the shoe. Tahar, the loch is its tahar. So in the event that this sandal was tameh, and now it lost its flaps, it lost its straps, it lost its sole, basically the shoe is not a shoe anymore. And as a result, it's tahar. This is Masechtas Kelim 101, Tumah V'Taira 101, that if you have a keli that's tameh, and now it's not a keli anymore, that loch is it becomes tahar. Achas mi'oz, what if it lost one of these flaps? Like achas mi'tar, so he has one of its straps. Oishanitil, not the whole sole, but right the kaf shalai, right of the sola. What's that loch of the tameh? It's going to be tameh. Rabbi Yehuda says, it depends which one of the straps were taken off. Meaning in the case where one of the straps came out, so it depends which one. Nifsuko pnimis, if it was the inner one that came out, Tommy, it's going to be Tommy. Hachitzoin, if it was the outer one, Tommy, it's going to be Tommy. What's the difference between the inner and the outer? The inner one, you're going to fix. So it's still a keli. The outer one, you're never going to fix. So therefore, it's going to be Tar. According to the Tanakama, it doesn't matter if it's the inner one or the outer one that came out. Either way, the halach is it's going to remain tameh. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it does matter. If it's the outer one, you're not fixing it, and as a result, it's going to be tameh. Says the Gemara. For Amar Ula, Ula said, Vitehme Rabbi Barbachana. Some say Rabbi Barbachana said. But regardless whether it was Ula or Rabbi Barbachana, it was said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Kemachloikis Linyan Tumah, the following quote. Just like there's a Machloikis Rabbi Yochanan regarding Tumah, Kach Machloikis Linyan Shabbos, so there's a Machloikis Linyan Shabbos. Avaloi Linyan Chalitza, but there's no Machloikis Linyan Chalitza. The Gemara says, Avina, but the Chachamim didn't know exactly what Rabbi Yochanan meant. Meaning, Rabbi Yochanan, Libid Amah. Who was he going according to? Rabbi Yochanan made this comment. Was he talking Aliba the Chachamim? Or was he talking Aliba the Rabbi Yehuda? So Gemara says like this, Aliba the Rabbanon. Was he going according to the Rabbanon? The Rabbanon hold that if one of the straps come off, it doesn't matter which one it is, the halacha is, it's automatically going to be, it's still going to be tameh, and the reason is because it's still functional. So in that, Rabbi Yochanan said that just like the Chachamim said their shita with regards to Tumah, they also said it with regards to Shabbos, but they didn't say it with regards to Chalitza. So the Gemara says like this, Middel inyan Tumah manahava, being that the Chachamim hold that it's still a keli with regards to Tumah, manahava liyan Shabbos, nami manahava. So it makes sense that with regards to Shabbos, it's also still considered a keli, right? If it's a keli liyan Tumah, if it was Tumah, and now this happened, it retains its Tumah because it's still a keli. So it makes sense that with regards to Shabbos, it's a keli, meaning it's not going to be muksa. Avaloi l'chalitza. But then what's the third thing Rabbi Yochanan said? It's not going to be a keli regarding Chalitza. The lav manahu. You tell me it's not considered a shoe with chalitza. Gemara says, why not? But now we learned in the Mishnah, chalitza shall smell be a min. Chalitza sekshera. If a woman took her left foot and she put it, a left shoe and she put it on her right foot, and then they did chalitza, well, the man is the one who wears the shoe, and they did chalitza, so what's the halacha? The halacha is it's gonna be okay. It's gonna be a kosher chalitza. So what do you see from here? If the Chachamim hold that if it's missing a strap, it doesn't matter which strap it is, it's still a keli. That's why if it was tummy, it's still tummy. That's why it's not going to be considered muksa. So why isn't it a keli with regards to chalitza? Now, granted, the only reason it's going to be a keli in the event that it lost the outer strap is because he always used it for the other foot. But with regards to chalitza, that's not an issue anyways. Because that loch, it's chalitza shosmal b'yamin chalitza sekshera. So if Rabbi Yochanan's comment was going on the Chachamim Shita, we don't understand Rabbi Yochanan's comment. I understand, says the Gemara, why the Chachamim Shita by Tumah relates to Shabbos. If it's a Keli Linyan Tumah, that's why Tumah. It's a Keli Linyan Shabbos, that's why it won't be Muktzah. But why is it not a Keli Linyan Chalitza? Rabbi Yochanan Sabah Loi Linyan Chalitza. Someone says, Allah, but Rabbi Yehuda, it must be that what Rabbi Yochanan was saying was not commenting on the Chachamim Shita, but rather commenting on Rabbi Yehuda Shita. Okay, what was Rabbi Yehuda Shita? Rabbi Yehuda said that in the event that it's the inner one that came off, so you have a sandal that was Tameh, and one of the straps came off. Is it Tameh or is it Tar? Chum says, always Tameh. Rabbi Yehuda said, no, it depends. If it's the inner one, it's going to be Tameh. But if it's the outer one, then it's going to be Tar. So, okay, so what's Rabbi Yehuda saying? Middle inyan Tameh, lav manuhu. In the event that the outer one came out, we say it's Tar. It's not Tameh. Linyan Shabbos nami lav manuhu. So, that's Rabbi Yechon's second point, that with regards to Shabbos, not going to be Keli either, meaning it's going to be considered Muktzah. What's the third thing he said? Avaloy l'chalitza, but not with regards to Chalitza. Now we're going to Rabbi Yehuda. So, we're saying it's not a Keli with regards to Tumah. It's not a Keli with regards to Shabbos. Avaloy l'chalitza, it's a double negative. That means it is a Keli with regards to Chalitza. Demanu. The Gemara says, how could that be? How could it be not be a shoe regarding Tumah, not be a shoe regarding Shabbos, and be a shoe regarding Chalitza? And even though, says the Gemara, and even though it's true that the halach is that a woman can, or that you can use the left shoe on the right foot for Chalitza, but that's only if it's a shoe. But over here it's not a shoe. So if it's not a shoe, then so what's going on over here? So the Gemara was confused what Rabbi Yechon meant to say. So the Gemara says, being that either way, whether Rabbi Yechon was coming to the Chum and coming to Rabbi Yehuda is a little shver, so we have to edit Rabbi Yechon. So the Gemara says, this is what the Chacham said Rabbi Yechon meant. The Gemara says, Dama Rabbi Yehuda nifskach yitzayin getar, amalam manuhu. So you have to say Rabbi Yochanan was going according to Rabbi Yehuda. And you have to edit Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan didn't say avaloy lin chalitza, but rather what he said was v'chein l'chalitza. The same is true with regards to chalitza. Rabbi Yehuda holds if the outer strap is the one that comes off, it's tahar. It's not a keli regarding tumah. He also holds it's not a keli regarding Shabbos. What does that mean? That means it's muktzah. He also holds it's not a shoe with regards to chalitza. Why not? Because even though it's true, you can swap shoes from different feet with regards to chalitza, but the chiyam mina chalitza shal smal b'shal yimin chalitza sik sheira, that's heichad l'milsei manu, that's if at the very least it's a shoe. Aval hachad l'milsei lamanu, but over here it's not a shoe, and therefore the halach is, it's not going to be okay, says the Gemara. So what did we just demonstrate up until this point? We demonstrated that there was a machloikis between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim that's very, very much related to the stories that the Gemara told with Rabbi Yirmi and Rabbi Avo, who were walking in a Carmelis, and Abai Rabbi Yosef, who were in a Chatzar. They were somewhere in a Rishos HaYachid. And that is, if you have a sandal which naturally has two straps, an outer and an inner, if the inner one comes off, everybody agrees the sandal retains its status as a keli. What happens if the outer strap comes off? Do we say that no one fixes it, it's not a keli, it's garbage, and therefore it's not considered a keli with regards to halacha? Well, no, we view it as still being a keli. Chum shita is, with regards to tumah, it's a keli. Rabbi Yehuda shita is, with regards to tumah, it's not a keli. Rabbi Yechon went ahead and commented on this machloikis within the Chachamim, and he said, k'machloikis linyan tumah, kach machloikis linyan Shabbos, and based on the Gemara's final version, v'kach machloikis inyan chalitza, meaning the same halacha would be true with regards to chalitza as well. In other words, Rabbi Yochanan was commenting on the machloikis, but the question was he commenting on the Chachamim Shita in the machloikis or in Rabbi Yehuda? Not on both. It was either on the Chachamim or Rabbi Yehuda, and that was the shaila in the Gemara. And the Gemara came out after further review, it's going aliba de Rabbi Yehuda. That's what he was going according to. If that's the case, it means that Rabbi Yochanan paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. If he paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, what does Rabbi Yehuda hold? That if you're missing your outer strap, the halach is it's going to be not a shoe anymore with regards to tumah. Not a shoe, meaning it's muktzah. Not a shoe, you can't use it for chalitza. Oh, so that's what Rabbi Yosef told Abaya. Abaya's strap came off. So Abaya told Rabbi Yosef, what's the big deal? I don't understand. What's the issue over here? I can't figure something out. Why is it muktzah? Because it's the outer one. I'll flip it around. I'll put it on my left foot. So he said, no, you know why? Because Rabbi Yochanan holds like Rabbi Yehuda. What? Who's Rabbi Yehuda? Who's Rabbi Yochanan? The teretz is gevaldik. It's this machloikis with regards to tumah. That the Gemara says, k'machloikis in your tumah, k'machloikis in your Shabbos. And Rabbi Yochanan commented in Hushita, not in the Chachamim Shita. In Rabbi Yehuda Shita, so he said, marriage Rabbi Yochanan held like Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yosef turned to Abaye. If the great Rabbi Yochanan held like Rabbi Yehuda, that means the Allah is like Rabbi Yehuda. What's Rabbi Yehuda Shita? That if the outer one comes off, you don't say that I can always flip it to my left foot. And it impacts the laws of Tumah, impacts the laws of Shabbos, impacts the laws of Chalitza. They were handling Shabbos, Geshmak and Gemara. That's what they want. But the Gemara has one problem. Rabbi Yochanan Hachi. Is it possible that Rabbi Yochanan holds like Rabbi Yehuda with regards to his machloikis? We know Rabbi Yochanan holds halachas like Stam Mishnah. But Tanan, and we learned in a Mishnah. Where's this Mishnah? The 26th parak of Masechtas Kelim. Sandal shenifsuka achas me oznov. You have a sandal where one of these oznov came off, fitikna, and then you fixed it. The halacha is tamei medris. It's still going to be tamei tumas medris. So we're discussing tumas medris, which means we're talking about either a zav or a zava or a nida, someone who has a tuma that's yoytze megufa. Where the halach is that if a zav sits or stands or lies on something, so the halach is that thing doesn't just become tame because of the fact that it came in contact with the zav, but actually it becomes an av hatuma, becomes a source of tuma in and of itself. It's what's known as tumas medris. So the Mishnah says that if you have a sandal where any one of the aznav came off, the halach is if you fix it later, it's going to be tame tumas medris. Now Rashi points out that at this point of the Gemara, the fact that he fixed it is neither here nor there. So basically, let's make believe he didn't fix it, just to keep the Gemara simpler. So the Mishnah is saying that if one of these oznai, one of these straps came off, the halach is it's going to be tamei tumas medris. Zok, the Gemara, my lav, doesn't it sound like loishna pinimis v'loishna chitzayna? It doesn't matter which one came off. It doesn't matter if it was the inner or the outer. Meaning, if it was the outer, it's still going to be considered a keli. Now, whose sheet is that? That's the Chachamim sheet, because according to Rabbi Yehuda, there is a tremendous distance. That's the whole Rabbi Yehuda. And that is, was it the inner one or was it the outer one? Now, this is a Stam Mishnah. We know Rabbi Yochanan holds like a Stam Mishnah. So, for the Gemara, I have a Rabbi Yochanan that holds like a Stam Mishnah. The Stam Mishnah is the Chachamim. It's a stira to what Rabbi Yosef told Abayda from the fact that Rabbi Yochanan commented on Rabbi Yehuda's sheet. That's right that he holds like Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara says, Loi Pnimis, Daf Gav Chitzayna. It means maybe when that Mishnah says that one of the Aznav came off, it's not referring to anyone. It means Dafka, the inner one, because Enchanami, if the outer one would come off, it would be Tar. But the Gemara says, if that's the case, Avul Chitzayna, my Tar. If the outer one would have came off, it would be Tar. Ihachi Adatan, Nifska Shni of a Tikna Tar Minam Medris. If you look at the end of that Mishnah, the Mishnah says that if both of them come off, then the Allah is Tar Minam Medris. It sounds Avul Tame Maga Medris. It says, however, the thing will still be tamei for coming in contact with the zav. Meaning, it won't be tamei tumas medris, but it'll be tamei tumas maga medris. We'll see what that means in a second. Faith, the Gemara niflik bedida. Why do you have to jump? Meaning, if this Stam Mishnah is really Rabbi Yehuda Shita, and when it says that if one of them come off, it's still going to be tamei, it doesn't mean anyone. It means only if the inner one came off. But if the outer one came off, enochinami tahar, because that is Rabbi Yehuda Shita, then why, when we want to mention a case of tahar, did we mention a case where both of them came off and then they were fixed? Why did both of them have to be? Why did they have to come off? Niflik you don't need both to come off. All you need is the other one to come off. So the Gemara says, "Amr Rabbi Yitzchak ben Yosef, it's a good ha'ara. Tehemish nasenu besandal sheyeshloi arba oznayim va'arba tarsiyosim shloi lishbar dvar shor Rabbi Yechi." Right? We have a problem over here because it certainly sounds like this Stam Mishnah is going to leave the Chacham, but we're going to have to kvetch. We don't have a choice, and we're going to have to make this Mishnah work. Aliba the Rabbi Yehuda, why shloi lishbar dvar shor Rabbi Yechi? Because otherwise, the words of the great Rabbi Yechi are going to be broken, and we can't be shoyver the words of Rabbi Yochanan. So what's the kvetch? We're going to say it's talking about not a sandal that had one set of straps, but two sets of straps. The point is that when the Mishnah mentions the two, it doesn't mean the right and the left, but the two mean the two left, the two inners. That's what it means. It means that there were two on the outer side and two on the inner side. Usually you think one on the outer, one on the inner. So if the Mishnah talks about both, what does both mean? Oh, the outer and the inner. So why do you have to jump to the outer and inner? Just say the outer. The Teretz is no. When it said both, it meant both inners. Since when do shoes have two inners? You're right. This is an Aikimta. We're talking about that. This is what's going on over here. A sandal sheyesh le arba aznayim v'arba tarsiyosin. And why are we doing this? Simply, shalei lishbar dvarav shor yechas. What's the bottom line? What we're coming at is the Rabbi Yechon held the Rabbi Yehuda because that's who we commented on that brisa. And even though there's a Stam Mishnah, and Rabbi Yechon holds halacha k'Stam Mishnah, and the Stam Mishnah certainly sounds like it's the Chachamim Shita, but the Gemara is saying you're going to have to say shalei lishbar dvarav shor Rabbi Yechon, that really the Stam Mishnah is not the Shita of the Chachamim, rather, it's the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. Ki Yasa Ravin, when Ravin came from Eretz Yisrael back to Babel, Amar, he said, Rav Chanan bar Abba, Amar Rav, the Rav Chanan bar Abba said, Rav Alachik Rabbi Yehuda, but Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Ein Alachik Rabbi Yehuda. Mar says, Rabbi Yochanan said, Ein Alachik Rabbi Yehuda, Omiyam Rabbi Yochanan, Hachiv Amid, the Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yehuda, Shema Amin Rabbi Yehuda's feeling. So this was a separate exchange, right? The exchange that the Gemara just mentioned now is the exchange that happened on a Shabbos and a Chatzar between Abaya and Rabbi Yosef. But this is where Abdimi comes back and he reports so many things he heard from Rabbi Yochanan. And one of the things that he said over the name of Rabbi Yechon, Rabbi Yechon said, the halach is not like Rabbi Yehuda. But the Gemara says, they asked him, how is this possible? And the Gemara says, you're right, you have to say, you have to say there was a machloikis amayroim as to what exactly Rabbi Yechon's shita was. One more point on this note. Tanan Hossam, we learned in a Mishnah, and this Mishnah is also a Masechtas Kalim, not the 26th parak, the 17th parak. Kli balibatim shiurim kira moinim. So the balabata shekalim, the kalim that belong to the balabatim, if it gets a hole after its tameh, it's going to be tar. But how big does the hole have to be? The size of a rimoin. We saw this earlier in the Masechta. But Chizki said, interesting shaylo. Nikev kemoitzi zayas. What would be if this keli that was tameh got a hole, the size of a zayas, which is less than a rimoin. Vesasmoin, then you plug the hole. Vechazav nikev, and then it got a hole again. Kemoitzi zayas. Vesasmoin, and then you plugged it again. Actually, shlimel moitzi rimoin. So what happened was this keli got three holes. If you would add the holes together, it's the size of a rimon. Each one was less than a rimon. Each one was a zayas, let's say. Together, it made up the size of a rimon. Okay, so of course it's tameh. No, the case is where you plug the holes in between. Meaning, there was never one moment of time where there was a hole in this keli the size of a rimon. There was a little bit of a hole, another little, you fixed it, then another little, you fixed it. So if you would aggregate the three holes, and had they all been holes at the same time, you would have had the shear of a rimoin. So this is your classic chatzi shear. What happened was you had a little bit and then you closed it. And then you had another, you closed it. So the question is, do you say that being that you never had a hole the size of a rimoin at one given time, so that halacha is it's going to be tar, or maybe you're supposed to add the holes up together? It sounds like a big chiddush to shayla. You've never had a hole of a rimoin at the same time. But so what's the other side? The other side is because at the end of the day, this keli is not the same keli anymore. Because if you have a keli that has a hole and then you fix it, even if you fix it, it's still not the same. So the bottom line is you have a rimoin's worth of keli that's a little different. That what the Gemara is going to refer to as panim chadashos. So maybe that's enough to say that it's going to be tar. So says, this is what Chizkiyah asked Rabbi Yochanan. Chizkiyah was Rabbi Yochanan's Rebbe, one of his Rebbeim. Amalei Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan told his Rebbe Chizkiyah, Rebbe, shani solanu, I have arrived for something that you once taught us. Sandal shenif zgachas mi aznav. If someone had a sandal and one of the aznav fell off, a tikna, and you were masakin it, aloch is tamei medris, it's going to be tamei medris, because only one of the things came off, it's still a keli. So if it was tamei tumas medris before, it's going to remain tamei tumas medris. What if the second one came off, a tikna, and you were masakin it, then the aloch is toher mina medris. At that point, it's going to be toher medris. Aval, why? Because now both of them came off. I mean that both of them came off, it's not medris anymore. By the way, even though you were masakin the one, meaning you never had both of them off at the same time, it doesn't matter. If at this point, both had to be fixed, so the halach is it's going to be tar min ha-medris. Aval tamei maga medris. However, tumas maga medris it's going to have. Again, just to clarify that point. Tumas medris is, if a zav sits on something, it gets a very special tumah called tumas medris. A zav that comes in contact with anything becomes tamei. So not everything is subject to the laws of tumas medris. But anything that comes in contact with a zav, assuming it's hukshul kabel tumah, is going to be tamei. So in this case, where both of the straps came off, but now they were both fixed. The halach is it's tahir min ha-medris. There's no tumas medris, but it is tamei simply for coming in contact with medris. It's tamei magas. So Rabbi Yochanan told Chizkiyo, we asked you, what's the difference between these two cases? And you told us, panim chadash is bolakan. The question wasn't so much, what's the difference between the two cases? That the Tosfos talks about, that the Rishonim talk about. The question was more, why is it that the halach is if shoe was tamei tumas medris? Why was it tamei tumas medris? Because a zav put his feet in it. Then one strap came off, you fixed it. Then the other strap came off, and then you fixed it again. Why is it not medris? Because it's not. The straps came off. You were masaking them, and there was never a moment of time where it had zero straps. It one was off, and then you fixed it. And then when the other one became an issue, it was again only one was off and then you fixed it. So assuming you need both of the straps to come off in order for it to be another keli, and in this case you never had both of the straps come off at the same time. So the Talmidim asked Chizkiyah, so why is that loch? It's not Tamei Tumas Medris. Now it's Tamei Tumas Magas Medris. But again, that's what Rishonim talk about Ayin Shaf. We're talking about the Tumas Medris part. That's what we need just for the Daf Yomi version of this Gemara. So the question is, I understand, at the end of the day, there was never a moment of time where it had no straps. So if there was never a moment of time where it had no straps, why is the halacha that it's going to be tar. Va'amritlan, you know what you told us? Panim chadashis bo'lekan. Geshmak. It's because it's not the same shoe anymore. You're right. There was never a given time where it didn't have any straps. But at the same time, the two straps that it had then and the two straps that it has now, it's a whole new mitzvah. So hachanami, that's what Rabbi Yochanan told Chizki. I think this is my tushta. You know, the Rebbe asked the Talmud a shayla. You don't see that every day in the Gemara. So he asked him a shayla. It doesn't even sound like it was l'chadudeh. Sounds like he wanted to know. So he asked him a shayla. So he says, I think this is also part of Chadashas. And Achinami, the keli that was tummy never had a hole the size of a rimoin at any given time. It was a zayas, and you fixed it, and a zayas, and you fixed it. But right now, you have a rimoin's worth of panim Chadashas Bo'okan. So that's what Rabbi Yochanan told Chizki, I think. So the Gemara says that when Chizki heard Rabbi Yochanan told him, he got so excited. And this next Gemara is a classic. Kari Yoleh, he told him, Leis din bar enish. The business kind mensch, Rashi says. Well, then what was he if he's not a mensch? Elo malach. He says, you're like a malach. Ikedami, some had a different version. He told him, ki goin dein bar inish. Gavra bakula, you're a real man. You're a real mensch. You're a gavra rabba. Either way, Chizki was very excited. On that note, about a person being a malach, a person not being a mensch. Amar Zera, Amar Rava bar zimuna. Im rishayna b'nei malachim. If the rishayna were like malachim, anu b'nei anashim, we're humans. If the rishayna b'nei anashim, and if the rishayna were humans, anu kichamayrim. We're like donkeys, but not just any donkey. V'loike chamayrish or Rabbi Chanina ben Daisa, Shor Pinchas ben Yar, where the Gemara talks about in different places that Rabbi Chanina ben Daisa's donkey didn't want to eat anything that didn't have, that was Tevel, Rabbi Pinchas ben Yar. These are different Gemaras, but the bottom line is that was Rabbi Pinchas ben Yar's donkey. But regardless, we're donkeys, but not choshevah donkeys. Eloke sharcha moirim. Either way, so the Gemara, we'll get back to this one. V'noi this yayin v'shemen, just to drop more Gemara. So flasks of yayin and shemen, the Mishnah said, these are examples, the Mishnah of flasks that you're allowed to untie on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, pshita, shouldn't it be, oh, we'll stop here. So just one ha'ara as it relates to the daf. And that is, we just mentioned an exchange between Chizki and Rabbi Yochanan. It was intense. It was Negeya Mishnayis and Masechtas Kalim, the laws of Tumah V'Tahira, a principle of Panim Chadashis Bo'okan, which is a principle that impacts the laws of Tumah, it impacts the laws of Kashrus, and many other areas of Halacha. So Chizkiya, the Rebbe, asked Rabbi Yochanan. It's weird that Rabbi Yochanan in the Gemara is the Talmud. But this is a Gemara where it's not someone saying over in the name Rabbi Yochanan, but rather Rabbi Yochanan is the Talmud in this Gemara. And Chizki asked Rabbi Yochanan a shayla. Rabbi Yochanan gave him an answer. And Chizki was so excited, was so impressed with Rabbi Yochanan, told him that Kari Oleh, there's two versions. One version is he told him, Leis din bar inish. Some say no. You're going din barinish. You're a mensch, but not just you're a gavra rabbi. You're a perfect person. You're a isha shkoilis. Either way, so we have this idea of Rabbi Yochanan being referred to by his rebbe as a malach. There's a similar gemara Masechtas Nida Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, where Shmuel, who was Rabbi Yehuda the Amora's rebbe, said about his Talmud, Rabbi Yehuda, he said, Ein ze yelud isha. He said about him, he's not a yelud isha, he's almost not human. He was so great, he reached such a madrega that he became mamish like a malach. We've mentioned many times a vart that I heard from the Rav Shlita, Rabbi Shua Abib Yusel, that I think bears repeating the Ein based medrash beloy chiddush. That is, the Gemara says in Masechet Shabbos, Taf Peiches Amud Beis. We learned it together not so long ago. I'm Rabbi Shua ben Levi. Rabbi Shua ben Levi said, B'shosha Allah Moshe Lamarim. When Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Shemayim to Mekabel the Torah, Amru Malachi Asharos of Nei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Malachim told Hashem, Ribbono Shel Olam, Ma Yelud Isha Beinenu? What's a Yelud Isha? What's a human being doing here? Amar Lahem. So he told them, Mekabel Torah Ba. He came to Mekabel the Torah. Amru Lefanav, they said, Chamuda Genuza. She Genuza L'chatesha Meis V'shimim V'abar Doris Kodesh Nivra Olam. The special treasure that you have, the Torah. This treasure that's been hidden for 974 generations before Bria, you're going to give it to a human being? How can you give it to a boss of a dom? How could you give it to a yolud isha? Ma enoish kisis kirenu uven adam kisif kidein. Hashem adinenu ma adeshimcha b'chal aretz asher tenahoit chal ha-shamayim. This belongs in Shemayim. So we all know the rest of the story. Hashem told Moshe, achoiz b'chisei kvoidi v'aneilam tshuva, noichi Hashem aleikecha. Were you in Mitzrayim? It says, kabedes avicha v'asimecha. Do you have a father? Do you have a mother? I heard once from Yeshua Abba. So he said that what was this sprach that the Malachi Asharis used about Moshe Rabbeinu? What's a human being doing here? So he quoted from the Mesilas Yesharim in Perichov Beis. He's talking about the Midah of Anava. And he says that a person should be humble. And the reason a person should be humble is because at the end of the day, as great as you think you are, everyone has their shortcomings and everybody's vulnerable. And as a result, it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter who you are, you should be humble. And he starts going through chapter and verse, does the Mesilas Yesharim, that if you're a Chacham, then maybe you're not a Gibor. And if you're a Gibor, maybe you're not an Asher. L'shoynei Hazav Shalom Mesilas Yesharim says the Ramchal, Toich Dvarav. Let's say you can find a person that's so perfect. He has every single mila in the world. He's perfect. So maybe that person is allowed to be a Baal Gaiva. Does he also have to be a Nonav? So says the Ramchal, the fact that he has one chesaron, and that is he's a Basav Adam, Yilud Isha, that he was born to a mother, Dai loy zeva hoiser, lepchisus ugrius achelo yos loy hahinosekla. That's in and of itself enough of a reason for him to be an auto. So says Ramcha, a person to be perfect, he could reach the highest madrega possible. But the mere fact that this person is a bus of Adam, that in and of itself is enough of a reason. That's in and of itself enough of a reason for him to act by nivus. So Rabbi Shua Abba said, Moshe Rabbeinu was perfect. He was betachlis hashleimus. He was a chacham, he was a gibor, he was an usher, he was an onav, he was a balkoima, he was mentesh arebina. Moshe Rabbeinu, the Ran says, and his drasha saran was from the nisim. There were nisim in Mitzrayim. There was the mon, there was the be'er, there was the nani akovid, there was kriyas yamsev, there was maimon hasidim, there was Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, the Ran lists as one of the miracles that happened in Mitzrayim. There was no one ever more perfect than Moshe Rabbeinu. But Moshe Rabbeinu had one chesaron. You know what his chesaron was? He was a bas of Adam. He was a yulud isha. Said Rabbi Shua, but that's what the Malachim turned to Hashem and said, I understand Moshe Rabbeinu is perfect. And I understand that he has all the credentials. He checks off every single box in terms of being someone that's worthy of being mekabel the Torah. About the chesaron as a yulud isha, mal yulud isha beinenu. And if he's a yulud isha, dai lo zeva oiser lepchisus agrius, achelo yos lo yahinose klal, he doesn't deserve the Torah. Because the yulud isha, he has no business being mekabel the Torah. But I was thinking like this. I was thinking maybe to the hair a little bit of a panemius in this Gemara. And that is the Rashi in Parshas Baloischa brings that the Torah talks about how the Yidden brought the one carbon Pesach that they brought in the Midbar. It was the second year that the Yidden were in Mitzrayim. Now they left Mitzrayim, obviously. They brought that one carbon Pesach, the famous Pesach Mitzrayim. And then they brought one more carbon Pesach, like Gnusin Shal Yisrael, that they never brought another carbon. But the Pesach, there were certain people that were Tmeim Lenefesh, Chalikis in the Gemara, exactly who they were, and they couldn't bring that carbon Pesach. And they come to Moshe Rabbeinu, and they said, Moshe, Lama Nigara, why should we lose that of bringing the carbon Pesach? And amazingly, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know the halacha. He wasn't sure. He didn't know what the answer was. He didn't know if they can't bring the carbon Pesach, it's the Tameh, you're dealing with kachim, so that's an issue. So what are you supposed to do? So Moshe Rabbeinu turns to them and he says, Imdu ve'eshma, give me a second, I'm going to go talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let me find out what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to say. Says Rashi, Ashrei Yilud Isha. Incredible, this pasuk says Rashi is unbelievable. Imdu ve'eshma, imagine, Moshe Rabbeinu says, you know what, I'm not sure what's going on, give me a second, I'm going to reach out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm going to let you know what he says, just Imdu, just stay there, hold that thought, I'll get back to you in a minute. What do you mean, no appointment, you don't have to schedule something a few weeks in advance? Imdu ve'eshma, zok Rashi, Ashrei Yilud Isha, it's unbelievable. A Yilud Isha that had the ability to communicate with HaKadosh Baruch Hu at any given moment, no such thing, this is unprecedented. No one ever heard of such a thing. Ashrei Yilud Isha, imagine such a zog, imdu ve'eshma. So I was thinking like this. I was thinking that the Rambam in Hilchos Yisoid HaTorah, Perek Zayin, see, he compares and contrasts the Nevuah, he compares and contrasts the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu and the Nevuah of the other Nevi'im. Kol ha-Nevi'im emes navim b'chol eisha yirtu, says the Rambam. Halacha dal. All the Nevi'im, if they wanted to just get Nevuah, they couldn't just get Nevuah. Elo, mechavnin daitam. They had to be in a certain place. V'yoshvin, smechin, they had to be happy. V'toivei leiv, u'mispoided them. So number one, they had to have a certain level of kavana, a certain level of rikus, focus. Number two, they had to be sitting. They had to be besimcha. They had to be betuv levav, And they had to be behispoided in the wald. They had to be away from everybody, with nobody around. Why? She'en ha'nevua shoyra, says the Rambam, lo'y mitoich atzvos, ve'lo'y mitoich atzvos, el'y mitoich simcha. Lefichach, it's for that reason, b'nei ha'nevim, lefneim novel v'toif v'cholu v'kinor. That's why you always find the Nevi'im. David HaMelech is always playing musical instruments. Why is he always playing? Because he loved music? That's not the reason. The reason is because he always had to be besimcha, and music has an ability to bring a person besimcha, because they mevakshen ha'nevua, because they want the nevua. And because they wanted the nevua, they understood that they had to get themselves into a certain place, and music was the intermediary that they used to get them into that place. Says the Rambam, I'm skipping. Everything that we've said, this is already halacha vav. Just read one excerpt, but this is a halacha vav. Everything we mentioned, the first five sifei katan in the Rambam's perik zayin hilchasei datar, this is all negated the Nevi'im, the Rishonim and the Achronim. Aber chutz miMoshe Rabbeinu, except for Moshe Rabbeinu, Rabban Shol Kol HaNevi'im, because he was Rabban Shol. Not Hefresh Yesh Ben Nevuos, Moshe L'Shar Nevi'im. So this is a whole arichos. I'm skipping again because Kol HaNevi'im, one of the difference was ein misnavim b'chol eshe yirtzu. But Moshe Rabbeinu ain't a king. Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't like that. Elo calls man she yachboitz whenever he wanted ruach hakodesh. He didn't need kavana. He didn't. You don't find Moshe Rabbeinu playing music. He didn't need it. He was always ready. Here's the punchline. Because he was like a malach. Therefore, he could always say nevuah. He quotes this pasuk in Parshas Baal Yisro. Where did Moshe Rabbeinu knew that? How did he know he was going to be different? You know where he knew it? Because after Maimon Har Sinai, what was the first thing? The Chasam Sofer we spoke out. What was the first thing Hashem told Klal Yisrael after Maimon Har Sinai? He told him, Lech Emer Lehem Shuvah Lechem Lehoi Alechem. There are some slaves that it's a mitzvah saseh that you have to be a human being. That you have to go back to Olam Haz. The first thing after Maimon Har Sinai, go back. How is that possible? Shuvah Lechem Lehoi Alechem? Ishus? That's the first thing, yeah. Because they were supposed to be regular. Holomadat, Tashakol HaNevi'im. All the Nevi'im were like that. Because all of Klal Yisrael, says the Rambam, well, these Rambams are not shaykh. Every single Yid was a Novi at Maimon Har Sinai. Ato HaReis L'Adas, Ki Hashem U'Elokim Enoim U'Vadei. Everyone, not just people on the, not only Sheva Levi, all 12 Shvatim had Nevuah at that moment. Shakol HaNevi'im. So what do you see from here? That what happens, what does the Nevuah, what Novi do after he finishes his Nevuah? Shuvu lechem lo yalechem. That's what happens. Chayzum la'alam, shutzar chiyaguf, kulam, kisharaam. Lefichach ein parshim minishasein. But Moshe Rabbeinu loy chazal la'alay arishay. Lefichach pirech minot yisho la'aylam, umikol adoyim ala. V'nikshara daitoy b'tzura oylamin. V'loy nestale kahoyd mei olav la'aylam. He always had that shine, the shine that the Yidden had when they were Makabal Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu always had. V'koran ar panav, v'niskadish. Again, here's the punchline. Kimalachim. He was like a malach. Says the Rambam when he describes the chiluk between the Nevuah of the Sharon Avim and the Nevuah of Moshe. Sharon Avim, they needed to get into a certain place in order to get Nevuah. But Moshe Rabbeinu didn't. Moshe Rabbeinu was able to be Mekabel Nevuah whenever he wanted. That's the pasuk. Imdu ve'eshma ma'yitzav ha'ashem lechem. But the Rambam, not once, but twice, says the Rambam, what was the difference? What was the difference? You know what the difference was? Because Sharon Avim, they were Bnei Adam. They lived with their families. They lived in Olam Hazeh. The second after Klal Yisrael were Nevi, the minute the matziv of Nevuah of Maimon Har Sinai finished, what did Hashem tell Klal Yisrael? Shuvu lechem lo'oy ha'lechem. This is what he told them. They were Bnei Adam. They were Yeludei Isha. They were human beings. A human being can't just go and tap into it. How do you tap into Nevuah? Nevuah means you have to be in a certain place to be mistabik by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to have the Shekhinah rest on you, to have Ruach HaKadosh. You have to be on a level. And a human being is not on that level. So what he needs to do is he needs to prepare himself. Mechabnen daiton v'yoshven smeichem v'tuvei lev u'mispoided him. You get yourself into a place where now you're shaykh to Nevuah. But Moshe Rabbeinu was different. Moshe Rabbeinu was kimalachi ashari, says the Rambam. He was koronar ponov in his kaddish kimalachim. He was like a malach. He was the Olod Yisha, but he was like a malach. And because he was like a malach, that was an akud. I think that's the tifkeit in Rashi and Parshas Baal Loischa. Imdu ve'eshma, ma'yitzav Hashem lochem. Says Rashi, Ashrei Yeludishi, invokes that word in the Gemara, Masech de Shabbos, Tapeches on the days. Why Yeludishi? What's up with Yeludishi? You don't find that word that often. What's bothering Rashi? Ashri Yalud Isha. It's because this is the madrega of a malach. A malach is always prepared. A Yalud Isha is not shaykh to it. That's why Yalud Isha needs to prepare himself. He needs to be besimcha. He needs musical instruments. The chiddush was that Moshe Rabbeinu became like a malach. He was the Yalud Isha of his is given a shtikel amaloch. He was niskadish kemalochim, and that's what Rashi said. The yolud isha to get to that point. That's unbelievable. What do you see from here? You know, what you see from here that for a person to just on a dime decide that he wants to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not possible. That's something for malachim. That's not something for a yolud isha. A yolud isha needs to prepare himself. A yolud isha needs to get himself into a mindset if he's going to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So I was thinking maybe that's what's going on in the Gemara Masechta Shabbos Daf Peches Amud Beis. B'shosh Olam Moshe L'Amorim Omer Malachi Asher Oslof Nei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ribbono Shel Olam Malu Yolud Isha Beinenu. A Yolud Isha is going to be Mekabel the Torah. You're giving the Yolud Isha, you're giving the Torah to a Atum Evakish Litna Lebasa V'dom Ma Enoish Kisiskerenu Uven Adam Kisifkedenu Yolud Isha Basa V'dom Enoish Ben Adam. Four synonyms of the same thing in three lines of Gemara. Because the Malach's taina was, I understand that a boss of Adam can attain a chachma. I have no problem with the fact that Yolud Isha is going to be able to master the sciences and medicine and that and mathematics. I don't have a problem with that. Torah is a chachma, and from that standpoint, there's no reason a Yolud Isha can't have chachma. But Torah is more than a chachma. Torah is dveikus b'Kadosh Baruch Hu. Who wrote the Torah? We just learned the Gemara. Anoichi Hashem Aleikecha. Ano nafshis ksavis yahavis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wrote the Torah b'chvaydoi v'atzmoi. When a person learns the Torah, he's mistabik b'Kadosh Baruch Hu. Ayreisev Yisrael v'kutcha b'richu chad. That means when a Yid learns Torah, you know what he's doing? He's doing something that's a remez of what the Nevi'im did when they got Nevu'ah. And just like the Nevi'im, because they were Lude Yisha, they could just get Nevu'ah. So how could you just have the Torah? How's it possible for you to just have the Torah? Torah is the chas dveikus b'kadosh baruch hu, and on demand is a stira to Yolud Isha, and that was the Malach's time. You're going to give the Torah. Torah is something that permeates and encompasses a person's entire life. It's something v'agisa v'yom v'layla lo yomer seif haTorah zamipicha. It governs everything that you do. How's that possible? We live in a world of shuvu lechem lo yalechem. So you want to tell me, Yana, every now and again, once a week? Yeah, that I could hear. But how could the Yidden get the Torah? What's the teretz? You see from here something unbelievable. That and the truth is, Moshe never really answered the question. Right? David, he never answered the question. Did he answer the question? He explained to him why Yolud Isha deserves the Torah? Maybe. Depends on how you understand the Gemara's teretz. But he said, one thing I'll tell you. It's a nice kasha malachim. But the bottom line is the Torah was meant for us. Because Anoichi Hashem Alekecha Asher Yitzichem Eretz Mitzrayim. Le Mitzrayim Yiradetem. Le Pari Hishtabatetem. Torah Lama Lochem. You can ask me, it's a great kasha. But the bottom line is, there's no shaykhis to you. And if that's the case, you see from here something unbelievable. It's true. A Yolud Isha can't be mistabik by Kodesh Baruch Hu on demand. Imdu Ve'eshma, that was something that was given to Moshe Rabbeinu, because Moshe Rabbeinu was like a malach, because Moshe Rabbeinu was Parish Mishta, he wasn't included in Shuvah Lechem Lo Yalechem. But at the same time, we have something called the Torah, which if you think about it, is amazing. This is something that a person can open up a Gemara, he can literally open up a Gemara, and in a second he can be Mestabik HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Nevi'im needed music, they needed the forest, they needed his Baidides, they needed Sumcha V'Tov Levav in order for them to be able to do it. Only Moshe Rabbeinu was Imdu Ve'eshma Ma'isav HaShem Lechem. But there is a medium, there is a way for a Yid to be Mizdavik b'Kadosh Baruch Hu, and he could do it as a Yolud Isha, he could do it as an Enoish, as a Bas of Adam, and that is through learning Torah. And I think that's the emphasis. That was the Shakla V'Tayyim Malu Yolud Isha, as an Ashra Yolud Isha in Imdu V'Eshma, as the Rambam who says that the only time a person can go to HaKadosh Baruch Hu whenever he wants is if he's Kim Malach. And the Taina was, how are you going to get the Torah? You can always have access to the Torah. Apparently the answer was yes.